Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Wednesday, 14th of October, 2020. I'm John Hardy, recording this alone today, but I think I can take you through everything that's going on, at least I hope so, as we look across markets and what still is a pretty choppy price action in the U.S. equity market. I've tried to put up on slide one, not just the NASDAQ 100 chart where we saw a sort of minor new attempts at new highs here after Monday's incredible run-up were somewhat rejected. And we pretty much closed the day unchanged with everything seemingly always bouncing back in the Asian session. We saw that once again in the Asian session overnight with the positive mood continuing. But I wanted to note on the small inset there, that is the VIX and the VXN, which is a measure of implied volatility for NASDAQ 100 stocks. And you can see that it actually rose quite aggressively for another day, despite pretty much unchanged price levels. I think just a sign that sort of under the surface, things are a bit choppy. We've pulled out yesterday, and I'll put it in today as well, the action in the Apple option. So if we look at slide two, you can see that most traded options list from the Bloomberg terminal there. And just to point out what happens, of course, on the upside can happen just as viciously on the downside. So we pointed out that 130 strike call expiring this Friday on Monday managed to ramp from a closing price of 15 cents to over $1.20 on the day. Just incredible gains, 700% one day. These are the kinds of sort of lottery style bets that many options day traders are placing. And virtually all of that erased yesterday, even though the decline was about half or less. I think it's about half, actually. The price decline in the underlying shares was half of what the rise was on the prior day, because, of course, we were also running out of time into Friday's expiry. So you see the percentage change on these options on you know, the list there on that from that Bloomberg screen. And things like that 130 call falling 83% on the day, even the 125s dropped 72% in price. Just to remind folks that even you know, how options work, the danger of trading these types of things and the types of P&L swings from the underlying. And just also, you know, this was before the iPhone event that happened after hours. And I think some of this volatility linked to perhaps to that, but just linked to just speculative froth, if you will, I think as well. So at the iPhone event, a number of new iPhone models were unveiled, particularly the Mini. The overall report was that it was a little bit disappointing that the availability of the iPhones would be a bit late due to some COVID-linked delays. So something like mid-November, which is seen as a bit late for us as we head into the Christmas shopping season. So I'm noting as well that the live stream of the event was not available on Chinese social media. Could be, of course, some U.S.-China relationship implications there. But as it looks here, and you can look at the weekly chart I put at the end of the slide deck in today's presentation. If we close around here below, we have a bit of a shooting star on the candlestick for the weekly. So it'd be interesting to see how the next 2 days develop for Apple, the largest company in the world by market cap. And, you know, it gets plenty of focus, of course. Now, the other major event across markets yesterday was a fresh surge in the dollar, really a disappointment for the dollar bears here. We noted some of the price action fading after the dollar sort of clearly broke down below support in a few places heading into the Friday close. But this surge yesterday looks pretty strong, and it was triggered around the US CPI release yesterday, which was fully in line. It just shows that people are really looking for this and sensitive to this negative real rates story out of the US, i.e. that the inflation risks rising. And with the low policy rate in the US, meaning that you're getting negative real interest rates. I think some of this is just simply who wants to take further massive directional bets ahead of the unknown of the election. Whatever it is, it's a disappointment here. And, you know, I would argue with this sort of evening star formation, if you look at candlestick charts, you know, we could be exploring back towards the lows of the range, you know, back to that 116 plus low we saw back in late September. And just a reminder on Eurodollar specifically, and we have that on slide four, my colleague Ole Henson's excellent futures positioning charts he puts out every week on the U.S. futures and how we're positioned there. you can see that virtually all of the short dollar position is in Eurodollar. Very, very large position there still. It has faded from the highs, but is a concern if we continue to work lower in Euro in terms of the flow that could be triggered if it continues to weaken. And then I'm pointing out on slide five that Euro-Yen showing the directionally that the yen and dollar are very much fellow travelers. So very little volatility in dollar-yen. But if you look in the crosses, the yen sort of matching the dollar's strength here. It's a pattern we've seen in the past. You can see the similarity of the setup there. I think also certainly helping the yen yesterday was the fact that we saw this inline CPI reading out of the U.S. And we saw U.S. bond yields coming back in reasonably sharply lower, which helps support the case for the Japanese yen, which is always probably more these days, more yield sensitive than it is general risk sentiment sensitive. And then elsewhere, we're also seeing this story around negative real rates and the sensitivity to that story in precious metals, where we see a pretty sharp sell-off in gold and silver. And you can look there on slide six, where you see Ola had talked recently and this week about this sort of choppy rising channel. We kind of broke below that briefly overnight. It was around 1885.6 level. It sort of recovered just very slightly this morning, but just not a very pretty chart either. It makes you wonder if it's going to explore lower levels still. Apparently, this 100-day moving average is rather important. After that was a very precise test of that we saw back in September. And that level has since risen to well above 1850 now, but could be the next focus if the sell-off continues. And in general, just the gold and silver seem rather passive to sort of whatever the direction has been established in the dollar here. So I'm not seeing anything to inspire sort of an isolated view on precious metals at the moment. But certainly with this sell-off, you need a really strong impulse move back up to new local highs here to sort of erase this sense that this is a disappointing setback and reinforces sort of the choppiness in the range of the recent price activity. Now, I want to cover a couple of other stories we've seen rolling in linked to U.S. earnings and linked to the general fight for finding a COVID vaccine. The latest is that this Eli Lilly vaccine drug, in some sort of stage of trials has been halted, that those trials have been halted by an independent board that looks at the data and is trying to determine the safety of this therapy, if you will. And that's seen as disappointment. It was seen as similar to the Regeneron therapy. I think it was the Regeneron therapy, but it was a therapy that President Trump received. And this just comes a day after we saw that Johnson & Johnson trial also halted because of a patient taking ill in some sort of adverse reaction potentially. So shares are down quite sharply on the day, and just one of these, a further sort of chink in the effort to get ahead of COVID-19. We're seeing terrible numbers out of places in Europe, especially the UK, where there's talk of the need to do at least partial shutdowns in the UK after a surge. I believe it was 17,000 cases in the UK. And then on the earnings front, we saw Citigroup and JP Morgan reporting yesterday. The headlines positive, they had positive results, but a lot of those positive results were down to loan loss or reserves being lowered far less loan loss reserves needed than, of course, the prior massive quarter where there was the immediate COVID-19 impact. Trading revenue was very strong for JP Morgan, et cetera, et cetera. No surprise there, given market volatility, but the shares closed quite sharply lower. JP Morgan's far less so than Citigroup, which is dealing with some high regulatory costs that could require a lot of investments in its infrastructure and take years to accomplish. So some of that is specific to Citigroup, but this comes ahead of three big banks reporting earnings today, and I'll get to that slide in a moment. But not a good sign if the financials are weak, necessarily for not a good sign for the broader market. Okay, and then if we look over at fixed income again, I think it's important for there's so much focus on U.S. yields when they're pushing at those key levels, 1.5% on the 30-year, and then the 0.75% area in the 10-year. But with yesterday's action, we're sort of pulling away from those areas and it's becoming less of a story, which, you know, it's very interesting. Not so interesting, actually, if it's going lower, but becomes interesting again if we pop back higher. So I just would continue to urge folks to continue to watch yields. If they sort of dive back lower, they become a non-story unless they're going aggressively lower, suggesting some sort of profound reassessment of the inflation outlook, etc. But if they're headed back higher, I think they've recently were testing those key points here. So we've pivoted away from the danger levels, but not significantly enough yet to say that we've rejected that whole development. And then an interesting story specifically for Europe. We saw we've seen the Italian yields here heading to new all-time lows. If you look out to out the curve towards the 10-year on slide 7, you can see that. It's a remarkable story, that decline all the way to around 66 basis points, actually trading below in nominal terms. U.S. yields, let's forget real terms, but in nominal terms below U.S. yields. And there was a three-year auction for Italian three-year debt yesterday, so BTPs, that with a coupon of 0. And those were oversubscribed, just to give you a sense of how cheaply Italy is able to finance itself with this new regime of ECB's more broad-based purchases, etc. Of course, that 0% level sounds very significant, and it is in psychological terms, if nothing else. But just keep in mind, the German three-year debt sells at a minus 80 basis points yield. So there's still some spread left to work with there, and that's one of the reasons folks are interested in a zero yielding three-year Italian sovereign. And I don't have any charts today on sterling, but I really think we're getting to severe crunch time with sterling. We have this deadline tomorrow. We're not seeing progress in talks. And the UK is also distracted, as I mentioned, by this fresh COVID-19 outbreak levels, resurgence levels. I must admit, I've been a bit complacent as well on the prospects for a deal. I still think something might happen or should happen before December 31st. But if, you know, if we get beyond Thursday, tomorrow, with this October 15th deadline with no agreement, Boris Johnson may feel, justified in sort of pulling out of talks or upping the pressure by making good on his word, at least his promise to not continue with talks if no deal in principle is agreed by tomorrow. And it just feels like the market as well has been quite complacent. It doesn't feel like the market is positioned at all for bad news. So sterling is, I think, very touchy over the next two sessions, certainly through tomorrow, as we await news and headlines out of that. It could also, of course, go the other way. There could be some after talks that are supposed to take place today between Prime Minister Johnson and EU Commission President von der Leyen, some kind of breakthrough might occur in principle that allows for those the so-called the tunnel to be entered on further hammering out of details. But just want to underline that there is severe two-way risk over the next 24 plus hours as we await that news. And looks like sterling finally starting to pick up some of that fear this morning. I think in part simply because sterling versus the dollar has been a popular way to express sterling directionality. And that break above 130 looked rather promising recently, but now it's broken back below. But we're not just seeing sterling weakness here versus the dollar. We're also seeing it versus the yen to an equal degree, but also even against the euro, as euro sterling has bobbed back above 91. So FX traders, anybody with a sterling exposure, be aware the next through tomorrow, as the EU summit also is set to get underway tomorrow and finishing up on Sunday. I think this could be a big inducer of volatility in the FX space. Now let's get to earnings that are up today. We have three more banks reporting out of the U.S. It could be interesting to see what they said. I've highlighted all week the Wells Fargo report today. That will be interesting. I have the times on slide 8 as well for these releases, which happen around mid-session or early to mid-session. In the U.S., Wells Fargo, the biggest Main Street bank, if they're saying anything about their loan loss reserves or anything they're seeing on that front could be interesting, as well as just a general sentiment test for the market. We also have United Airlines out reporting after market, and American Airlines reporting as well today. Yesterday, Delta saying it was going to cancel orders for $5 billion worth of Airbus planes, so Airbus stock was not too happy about that. Nobody's expecting anything great from these airlines, and it's more about whether we're going to see a bailout deal for them from the U.S. government, and how long they can stay, on oxygen if we get into the election without some sort of bailout deal from the U.S. And then on to the calendar for today, where we have a number of speakers, central bank stripes out speaking, Lagarde herself out this morning, Chief Economist Lane, probably more interesting if there's anything policy-wise, although I really think the future of ECB is less interesting than the future for EU fiscal, and we'll be keeping on top of that over the summit and beyond. And then the U.S. Fed's Clarida, considered widely influential in setting policy, out speaking later in the U.S. as well. But really, the focus in the U.S. remains on stimulus and whether we're going to get anything ahead of the election. There was a rather interesting exchange yesterday in which Senate Leader McConnell on the Republican side was trying to propose some specific, a single provision measure to offer support. And President Trump himself said, look, go big or go home, quote unquote. And it's clear that Trump would like a bigger deal, but maybe you have to wonder if he's feeling not pressured because of where equity markets are doing, what equity markets are doing in the U.S., whether he feels that much pressure or heat to get a deal done. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that's still an open question. The market, again, feels somewhat complacent that, well, maybe the short-term stimulus is less important. It's really about the fact that it looks like we're crystallizing the view that the Democrats will win big and take the Senate, and we'll get an even bigger stimulus by, let's call it spring, early spring next year anyway. But feels a little bit complacent, that narrative, but let's see how it shapes up from here. For now, I think it's interesting to see that the dollar is pulling back to the strong side. I think the sentiment levels look a bit shaky in equities relative to what the surface's averages tell you. We've seen how some of these accelerations in the past in the price action to the upside, like we saw on Monday, have actually proven somewhat destabilizing for the short term. Could lead to some consolidation. And there's just the fact that we have this big U.S. election event coming up within 3 weeks now on November 3rd. I think I will call it a wrap for today. Stay careful out there, and we'll be back tomorrow, hopefully with a guest besides myself, with the next edition of the Saxo Market Call. For today, thanks for joining.